and the Industrial Revolution as a backdrop, fundamentally transforming the social structure of Europe, the basis of economic power, the basis of economic and social identity in Europe, reaching in many ways that great symbolic punctuation mark of the exhibition of the Crystal Palace in Britain in 1851. We've examined what might be called the age of nationalism and imperialism from the middle of the century down to 1914. The period from 1850 to 1871, marked by the emergence of movements for national unification in Italy and in Germany, and their successful culmination in the creation of an Italian national state and a German national state under Prussian auspices in 1871. We've examined the burst of imperialism, new imperialism as it was called, as the European states in the 1870s, but particularly in the 1880s, engaged in a new wave of expansion that encompassed the globe, particularly Africa and Asia, an age of imperialism. The two world wars would also represent, in many respects, a distinct age or epoch in European and Western history. The First World War, with its gruesome horrors, the battles of the Somme and Verdun, its mass slaughter, the shock after an age of great optimism, great self-confidence on the part of Europeans, that European society was capable of producing such devastation, such horror, such mass death, that in many respects the First World War would mark the end of the 19th century. Indeed, as I've tried to emphasize, the 19th century, it seems to me, died on the battlefields of Verdun and at the Somme in 1916. The conclusion of the First World War would mark the end, the sweeping away of the Habsburgs, the Hohenzollerns, the Romanovs, and would introduce into European political life Marxist socialism, now embodied in the Bolshevik state, the creation of the Soviet Union, and in 1922, the emergence of fascism in Italy. Indeed, this period from the end of the First World War down to the Second World War is often seen as the age of ideology, an age dominated by ideological conflict between Marxist socialism on the one hand and embodied in the Soviet Union, and fascism on the other. Fascism with its rejection of the basis of the Enlightenment, rejection of the notion of both Marxist socialism and liberal capitalism. That battle would reach its pinnacle, its horrific and terrible pinnacle during the Second World War with the conflict between the Soviet Union and National Socialist Germany. The Second World War, which saw such suffering, would lead to the great decline of European power. And now, as the 20th century draws to a close, what age will historians now decide we live in? For decades after the war, it was not only fashionable, but legitimate in the 50s and the 60s, 70s, to speak of the eclipse, even the decline of Europe in every sphere, compared to the post-war superpowers, the Soviet Union and the United States. And yet at the close of the 1990s, as we approach not only the waning of the 20th century, but stand on the cusp of a new millennium, it is abundantly clear that the fixed points of political, economic, and cultural reference, which have sustained us throughout the post-war era, have begun to shift, to wobble. The epoch of the Second World War, this great conflict that consumed the globe, in which 55 million people would perish, and whose ripple effects would extend across decades, has at last come to an end. And Europe, the West, the globe, find themselves in a period of transition. The movement for European integration begun in the late 1940s and 50s with the EEC, with NATO, has, as we've seen in recent years, begun to accelerate. In 1992, the Europeans took a giant step toward creating a Western Europe without boundaries and looks to create a common European economic currency.